Welcome to the Home Business Podcast with Richard Captain Henderson, publisher of Home Business Magazine, and Sherilyn Colleen, managing editor. This how-to show helps you successfully operate your home-based business.
Greetings and welcome to the Home Business Podcast. I'm Richard Captain Henderson, your skipper at Home Business TV.
And I'm Sherilyn Colleen, your co-host.
Let's secure for sea and get underway. Since the late 1990s, email has been the biggest direct marketing channel. Email has evolved, but the same principles apply. Give value, be consistent, and targeted.
No one knows this better than Scott Kies, founder of Scott's Cheap Flights. He founded Scott's Cheap Flights in a Denver coffee shop and has since grown it to 32 members based across 10 time zones.
As Scott's Cheap Flight is an email subscription service, Scott Kies understands that it's important to make every email worthwhile in already busy inboxes to gain credibility so that your audiences will be inclined to refer friends and family.
Scott's Cheap Flights has more than 1 million subscribers, 100,000 Twitter followers, 138,000 Facebook fans, and broadcasts weekly via Facebook Live. So, greetings, Scott Kies. Say hello to our podcast audience.
Hey, great to be here.
Thanks for coming on our show.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm excited.
Great. So your multi-million dollar e-commerce business is built upon email, and that means driving value with email. Scott, what are the tactics you use with email to drive value for your business?
It's a great question. And I'll give a little background on the way kind of the business works, because I think that'll help demonstrate it. So the way that Scott's Cheap Flights works is we don't sell flights. We're not like, you know, Kayak or Orbitz. And we're not like a travel agency where you go and tell, you know, hey, I want to go to Rome in May. You know, what deal can you find? What we do is we are a group of folks who are just really, really good and passionate about finding cheap flights. For example, a couple of days ago, we found ones from New York to Paris, nonstop for $306 round trip.
Wow. And I'm going to Paris. Did you sell that yet? I want to buy it.
Yeah, you know, and that's the funny thing is we don't sell them. We don't have any inventory. What we do is we monitor. We are constantly searching. We have all these kind of tips and tricks, got really good at finding cheap flights. And then what we do is when we find those deals, we just put it together in a little email to subscribers telling them, like, here's the deal, here's when it's available, here's how you book it, here are the airlines, here's how long we think it's going to last, and here's a couple sample searches to help you, you know, if you're interested in it, help you kind of help start your search. And beyond that, it's not really our prerogative whether you book or not. And so this is one of the ways, this leads me to, I think, the first way we try to drive value is our sheer business model. Because we're not affiliate funded, we don't take, you know, commission, stuff like that, we don't actually have incentive for people to book flights, which sounds kind of odd, like, you know, oh, look, you'd think, you know, a travel company wants you to travel and whatnot. But what we found is this actually helps put us in the shoes of our subscribers, where we're not trying to push them to book flights that are just so-so, you know, that are not actually in their best interest, but rather, because it doesn't make a difference to us whether we book or not, we can make sure that we're only finding and sending them the best deals, that we're telling them, hey, you know, look, this deal is available, FYI, it doesn't matter to us if you book it or not, but, you know, if this is something that interests you, here's how you would go about doing it. Mm-hmm. And so by being kind of not salesy, not pushy, but just sort of that, you know, that friend over there who's got this geeky obsession with finding cheap flights and he'll tip you off when they pop up, I think ends up driving a lot of value for folks because they can, you know, essentially.
So you just let the offer, the content of what you have, in this case, a great flight deal, you center your email around that, put that in the email, and then push that out. And that's how that links in with your subscription service. So by subscribing, your customer base for, you know, the persons in your network, they're receiving these, you know, receiving these email notifications of great deals on, in this case, for travel.
That's exactly right. You know, airfare is such an odd product where it's not like buying a price of, you know, a gallon of milk where the price is going to stay fairly consistent. It's not like, you know, going and buying, I don't know, let's say a computer monitor from Amazon where there's a ton of options, you know, dozens, mm-hmm. dozens of different options. It's a very kind of constantly changing, industry, you never know what you're supposed to pay depending on the value, depending on the stops, depending on the season, how far in advance you're booking. And so there's something very kind of uniquely American of being so concerned that I don't want to be a sucker. I don't want to pay $1,000 for the exact same flight that the guy next to me got for $400. And so we're trying to help kind of clue people in and be their early radar system, tell them, hey, look, don't you know, jump on those $1,000 flights, hold off. We'll let you know when the really good ones pop up so you can get in on it.
So, but the key nugget here is, you know, kind of looking at this across the board for home business owners is that you can, you know, you can adopt your business model around email. Now, in your case, it's almost entirely based on email with the communications, but the things that you're doing, maintaining a subscription list, this is something all home business owners should be doing, and then communicating whatever of value they have, even if it's, you know, updates on products and services and things like that. So this is a fascinating business model that you have.
Yeah. And just really kind of happened upon it. It was not something that I'd spent years sort of cultivating. Hey, this is my business model. I never took, you know, business classes in college. I was never like in an entrepreneurial club. I just really liked finding cheap flights. Ended up, you know, in the founding story just real quickly was basically I found a really good deal. Best flight of my life was New York, nonstop from New York City to Milan for $130 round trip.
Wow.
Took this incredible trip.
You would be surprised at how many entrepreneurs who have gotten in. It's like they didn't find the business. Yeah. The business found them. It was like this magazine.
That's exactly right.
That's just the way you go about doing it. You know, mm-hmm. You see a demand and it pops up for you. It's there.
That's exactly right. You know, I took this trip, this $130 to Milan, came back, and I had no intentions ever of making a business, but all my friends and colleagues kept coming up to me. Hey, Scott, you know, how was your trip? Uh-huh, cool. Hey, listen, next time you find a deal like that, can you let me know so I can get in on it too? And so by the time the seventh or eighth person had told me, I need to start an email list because I'm not going to be able to remember everybody I'm supposed to tip off.
And so an empire was born. Well, email along with e-commerce depends upon technology. As a small business owner, you have to understand how to link technology with your business. Scott, what systems or technology did you use with email that other small business owners could benefit from?
Yeah, I mean, the very first thing is, like you said it right there, not sleeping on the value of email. Has a reputation, you know, oh, it's old school, it's not interesting anymore. You know, nowadays it's all about, it's got to be social media, you got to have a blog, you got to have a podcast, you know, whatever the case is. And those things are great, but I think the value of personally delivering something to people is often overlooked, that people don't, you know, we could have had a Scott's Cheap Flights that there was no email involved and people had to come to scottscheapflights.com to see all the deals we have. And that might have worked okay, but the onus is on the consumer to do that. They have to think every single time I got to go to Scott's Cheap Flights and see what's mm-hmm. popping over there. Whereas this time they could just go relax, they can go about their life.
Well, what kind of technology do you use? Anything in particular? Do you use one of the larger email subscription services, Constant Contact or MailChimp? Mm-hmm. What helps you to deliver your mm-hmm. large numbers of emails on a regular basis to your client base?
Yeah, so we started out on MailChimp, eventually graduated just the complexity that we needed in terms of our automations, in terms of our segmentations. We graduated to ActiveCampaign, which is what we've been using right now and had a great time with. It's been helping us grow from, you know, a couple hundred thousand people to now 1.3 million. That's been wonderful in setting up those sorts of algorithms, those segmentations, so that when people come on, they're being put into the right buckets and everything. And then there's a lot of technologies and systems that we use from an internal basis now to help kind of the company itself, you know, not external facing towards customers, but internal facing towards ourselves. So Slack, everything is happening all day on Slack. You know, especially for a team like us where there's 30 people and, you know, nobody lives in the same city. Nobody's working in the same space. Keeping in touch together on there, and then having little kind of plugins within Slack that help. So one that comes to mind as we use is called Geekbot. Basically what Geekbot does is it just pings every single person every morning at about 8:30 a.m. and just asks you three questions. First, what did you do yesterday? Second, what are you going to do today? And then third, are there any blockers? Are there any things that are stopping you from being able to get your work done?
I need to get one of those pings in the morning. Can you send that to me?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and again, I'm not paid to endorse it. I don't get any kickback or
so,
anything.
So, just a few questions. So these email systems you're using, the technology, so you're managing your subscriptions, you're managing changes to contact information people might want to delete from your list. It helps you to segment your list. And you're getting all these benefits from this technology system you're using with your email. And so, you know, that's just something to bring out to the audience in general. Most home business owners don't have this large of a list, but those same principles of the things you need to do with managing a list, you're doing those through your email system.
Yeah, you know, and that's all done through ActiveCampaign. But what I would recommend, honestly, for most people starting out, until you get, you know, over 250,000, use MailChimp, use Constant Contact. Any of them are basically going to find they're going to be basically very similar, and just make it work. You know, like that, trying to focus on making the absolute best, you know, top-notch automation is probably overkill for, like you said, most home businesses, most stuff. Take advantage of, you know, those kind of intro ones have a lot of power and stuff that you can do with them.
Now, all your emails, you've designed those so that they're responsive and they can be read on mobile and smartphones.
Absolutely. And that stuff is starting to integrate into the small, into, now I don't want to say smaller because MailChimp is massive. Constant Contact is massive, but you know,
yeah, we use Constant Contact
email places. Yeah, absolutely. They're great. I definitely recommend.
Good way to get started. Well, before we move on to our next topic, I'd like to highlight this show's sponsor, Deborah Kay of Global Venture Services. Deborah Kay is one of the network marketing industry's top executive. She has worked with hundreds of aspiring home-based entrepreneurs to achieve home business success. She has a simple system that you can follow. For more information, visit workparttimelivefulltime.com or our podcast website for more information on sponsors.
So after a successful launch, it's time to move into the growth phase. And with an email-based business, that means more emails. So what are your tips for growing your email list?
All right, got a couple come to mind here. First, cultivating the early subscribers. So, you know, your early subscribers are going to be your friends and family. It's going to be the early kind of folks who are interested in this, that sort of inner circle. Those are the people that are going to be your advocates. They're going to be your evangelists, but only if you are kind of keeping them in mind, if you're listening to feedback from them, you know, hearing what they're telling you. Oh, you know, this thing is difficult to use. Oh, what about this feature? It doesn't mean that every single piece of feedback from them is going to be great, but making sure that you are listening to what they're having to say early, because those are the folks that I tell people it is way easier to grow from 1,000 to 100,000 subscribers than it is to grow from zero to 1,000. So getting those early people and making sure that they're fostered and that they're bought in and want to tell their friends is really key.
Well, I got to highlight that point. I would think it's the other way around. So you're saying it's a lot. Say that again about getting to 100,000.
My theory is that it is much more difficult to grow from 1,000 people to 100,000 people than it is to grow from zero to 1,000 people.
Okay.
And the reason why is I think once you are at 1,000, you know, more than that, and you've got a solid product, then you've got a critical mass of folks who are going to be, you know, telling their friends, they're going to be telling their colleagues, you're going to start to generate some buzz, and that sort of organic growth is going to start to build up. But you don't have any organic growth when you have zero subscribers.
I see.
You know, you don't have any organic growth when it's just your mom and dad and your siblings on the email list. And so starting to really try to listen and cultivate those early ones is going to be key to getting over.
We did cultivate. You're saying look for getting feedback from them, replies, and then
not only feedback, but also watching their behavior. Like, are they recommending this to friends? Why or why not? Like, what sorts of things can you be doing to make this something that is valuable to them and something that they are willing, you know, have.
And within your email system, you can, if you do that right, you can track how well it's being referred.
Absolutely. Yeah, there'll be some feedback that'll be explicit that they'll actually tell you. And there'll be some that's implicit, you know, just with how they interact with the email, what they engage with, what they don't engage with. You know, maybe you have like a forward to a friend or share this with others and nobody's clicking it. And why, you know, trying to figure out why is that? What is stopping folks? Looking at a lot of that information early on is going to be key to, like I said, getting over that initial hump.
Yeah, great point. Well, on the Home Business Podcast, we love war stories about startups. Scott Keyes, you have great experiences to share. What things have you learned that others could benefit from, both good or bad?
The biggest thing that I recommend to folks, starting out, is really making sure that you have product market fit. And that's, you know, that's a really fancy term for basically just saying like, hey, whatever idea you have, whatever you're selling, is there actually demand for it? And, you know, is there demand for the product? Is the price point right? Starting to test out those things before you jump into the deep end. And so when I started out Scott's Cheap Flights and took it from a free thing to a freemium thing where we had a premium list, I set the price point at $2 per month. And the reason why I set it at $2 per month is I wanted to see, like, is it really low? Are there enough people willing to pull out their credit card and sign up for this to tell me that, like, okay, there's some future here. There's some potential. There's an opportunity. And if I had set it $2 per month and nobody had pulled out the credit card and everybody stayed on the free list, that would have told me, like, okay, maybe there's not much here. But the fact is enough people did and started telling me, all right, you know, I can make this work. And then once I know that I'm over that hump, start to figure out, okay, what's the optimum price point? How can I improve the design? Starting to get to that, but focusing really early on the product market fit before, you know, so many people are tempted to just like build the prettiest website early on or like make things just incredibly like user experience, you know, top user experience without actually testing. Do people want this product? Are they willing to pay for it? And I feel like putting that first is going to tell you a lot more than
A lot of people could just go down rabbit holes thinking they've got the best mousetrap in the world and it's already been invented or nobody's interested. So kind of looking at your business model, you're able to, you know, looks like charge a very reasonable amount of money and spread that over a large base. And so that helps to fund a lot of your business. And then that would reduces your reliance on advertising through the email. And make it just kind of a paid subscription service then.
That's right. That's exactly right. We're almost entirely funded just by people who want the premium service and like I said, willing to pull out their credit card to pay for it.
That's great. Now you have to get synced up with your audience to make your business work. Scott, how did you develop your voice and brand consistency with your audience?
I just try to be human. It's a weird, it sounds so simple. It sounds so obvious and direct, but you'd be shocked how many people, when they start a business, forget how to interact with other people like they're humans and start to just speak in very like stiff corporate tones, which, you know, it works for some places. It doesn't have to be everywhere, but the trend these days, and especially when you're starting out, is to really just kind of being yourself, talking the way you normally talk, not trying to BS people, trying really kind of leveling with them. And, you know, whether that's like using slang, we throw memes in our, you know, in our emails. Sometimes we're like very kind of direct with folks. We don't dress it up in a lot of like, you know, couching statement and, you know, with disclaimer, if this is, you know, we're just trying to be much more kind of on the level with them. And people have responded with that. I think they really like being treated like, oh, wow, I know there's another person on the end of this. You know, there's Scott back there who's got my interest at heart and he's not like trying to pull the wool over my eyes. The other thing that I mentioned, and this is one of the nice benefits of running your own company. You know, it's never good to be a dictator, but if you're a founder, I think you're afforded a couple indulgences. And the indulgence that I take, at least when it comes to brand and voice, is no puns. Ever. No puns ever in Scotland.
Hey, to the victor belong the spoils. So you're gonna be allowed something.
Some people love them.
You kept it kind of simple. You didn't go off and get an MBA to figure out how to develop your brand. You're just kind of anchoring it with a lot of gut checks and what you found works with your audience.
Yeah, and a lot of it is just find other companies, find other people, you know, Twitter brands, other people that you like, you kind of like the way that they talk with people and just study them a little bit, read what they write and say like, okay, you know, can I talk like that? Like, is that something that comes natural to me? And don't be afraid to do it. Especially when you're starting on, you don't have you know, you don't have that much to lose. Don't be afraid to take some risks.
Well, Scott Kies, this has been a great discussion on using email in your home business. Do you have any final points you would like to share with our podcast audience?
Yes. Stop paying $1,000 for round-trip flights to Europe. Hold out for those $400 flights. I promise you they're coming.
I want that $300 flight to Dusseldorf.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Hold out for those. Don't pay $1,000.
Noted. Scott Kies, thank you for being such a great guest on the Home Business Podcast. We've really enjoyed it.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. To learn more about Scott Kies and his e-commerce site, visit scottscheapflights.com or a podcast website for more information.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Home Business Podcast. Share your feedback with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and at our website, homebusinessmag.com.
Visit the website for information on advertising. Subscribe free to our newsletter. Please visit our sponsors. For more information, visit homebusinessmag.com or the Home Business Expo at homebusinessexpo.com.
I'm Richard Captain Anderson saying anchors away.
And I'm Sherilyn Colleen. We'll talk with you soon. Until then,
make it a great home-based biz day.